This is Scott Becker with Becker's Healthcare. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Jamie Vink. Jamie is the group CEO of Sierra Tucson, a gifted person who is a counselor by background, now runs major efforts of a behavioral health provider. We're going to talk today about behavioral health, sort of what's going on in the sort of time of coronavirus and more. Jamie, thank you for joining us, and can you introduce yourself to the audience?
Yes, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is Jamie Vink, and I have the honor and privilege of being the Chief Executive Officer for the Sierra Tucson Group.
And tell us a little bit about Sierra Tucson. I mean, behavioral health, obviously growing needs incredibly in our country, all kinds of different types of behavioral health, addiction treatments, to all kinds of other treatments. Tell us a little bit about Sierra Tucson and what people should know about Sierra Tucson.
Well, Sierra Tucson is one of the original treatment centers. We have been around for over 36 years. And primarily we used to treat addiction, and we were private pay, where we were known mostly as addiction treatment for the rich and famous. And through the years, we have expanded our, first of all, access to care. So we accept all major insurances. We work with a myriad of individuals, and we have a license to treat primary diagnosis mental health. So people can come to Sierra Tucson to work on their depression and their trauma or their trauma without any addiction whatsoever.
Fascinating. And what are some of the big trends in behavioral health today, particularly in the era of COVID-19? What are you seeing, and how does it impact what you're doing?
So it's interesting, as we entered into the era of COVID-19, as we know, we were in an opioid epidemic, and we were also dealing with a suicide phenomenon. Suicides had increased dramatically, as well as suicide attempts. And so now, as we move into isolation, as we move into fear and anxiety and grief and trauma, there is a great deal of concern from a behavioral health standpoint. What will happen now? Will there be additional suicide attempts? Will there be more depression? And then not even to mention the economic reality of what we're looking at. So there's a great deal of anticipation in terms of what the world will look like from a behavioral health standpoint, and a great deal of opportunities for us to serve.
Well, thank you. And you had mentioned, I know that over the last decade or so, suicide rates are up 50% or so. There's now 45 to 50,000 suicides a year in our country. Opioid addiction obviously has been well publicized. And you talk about sort of the social isolation, the anxiety, some of those things that are also leading to more and more behavioral health needs. Talk about some of the trends in behavioral health.
So right now, the trends in behavioral health, a lot of anxiety with our younger adults, and a lot of addiction to electronics, addictions to game, addictions to social media. And what we're seeing in terms of social media and that pressure, you know, they call it, the young kids call it, the fear of missing out, and that actually being bullied on social media, those kinds of things, and that pressure to always have one's best life, one best self out on Instagram, when we all know, I mean, that's not real, it's not reality, but it's very different, especially for the younger adults, to accept that and to deal with life as they know it, rather than how they believe it should be lived compared to somebody else. So that was a trend before COVID-19. And now, with everyone spending so much more time on their virtual devices, then I believe that we're going to be seeing even more of that.
Right, because people look at sort of, you mentioned two things, this FOMO, this fear of missing out, that people see so much on social media. And in the old days, if you stayed home on Friday or Saturday night, it was just a day where you stayed home on Friday or Saturday night. Now it seems like you're staying home and the whole world is engaged and happy and doing stuff. And so that FOMO, that fear of missing out, is so much amplified by the social media.
That's correct. And the comparison to others, that can be extremely, that can be a setup for failure.
Fascinating.
The other thing that we're seeing is that now with COVID, we have the decreased access to community and religious support. So a number of the things that we know work in terms of being protective factors for not just suicide, but also for depression, those are things that are not easily accessible. And certainly they're only accessible on a virtual basis. The other thing that's going on is that in terms of mental health treatment, certain aspects of it, if you will, are cut. So we're not able to go to see our therapist in person. And if we need to access treatment, we can't bring our child and have them sit in the waiting room, any of those kinds of things. So there are certain limitations, and people who may want to go into an emergency room because they're having suicidal ideations won't do so because of their fear that their emergency room is loaded with COVID cases. So those are the kinds of things that are impacting people with suicidal ideation right now.
And you have much more virtual everything, but certainly doesn't take the place in any way, shape, or form of sort of a group visit or the ability to go to the ER when you're totally under stress, or any of those kinds of an in-person visit. I mean, they're all sort of virtual is better than nothing, but by and large, for at least some population of people that have mental health challenges, not nearly as good. Is that a fair statement or possibly?
It's a fair statement. And also the jury's still out as to how effective we're going to be with all of these virtual services and telehealth. We know telehealth has been extremely effective in remote areas and has been a great tool to use. But now we are doing it in place of that live face-to-face contact. And we just, it's uncharted waters. We simply don't know. For instance, at Sierra Tucson, we have a four-day family program that's been the cornerstone of our work for many years. And now we are doing it virtually. And it appears to be going well, but instead of someone flying in to support their loved one for 4 days from Chicago, New York, what have you, we're doing it all virtually. So that's an example of a face-to-face service that is being done virtually for the first time, and there is no evidence to let us know what the efficacy of that program will be.
And what about, what's the percentage of behavioral health that's done by a Sierra Tucson is inpatient versus outpatient? What's the mix of that?
So at Sierra Tucson, we are 90% inpatient and 10% outpatient. And that varies from time to time, but we recently opened up our outpatient services in the late part of 19. And so we are primarily inpatient residential.
And there's no, I imagine just tremendous challenges in sort of managing COVID-19 at the moment in terms of inpatient versus outpatient, how you handle things and so forth. But in the longer term, there is just no shortage of need for more and more behavioral health providers, inpatient and outpatient.
Oh,
is that a fair statement?
100% accurate, yes. The other piece that we haven't touched on yet is that there's been a lot publicized about the increased use of alcohol during this time. And a recent study showed that alcohol sales are up 55%. 75% of those sales are the hard stuff, tequila, vodka, those kinds of things. Because we can order them online, we can get them delivered, and restaurants are delivering alcohol. And so we don't know how that's going to sort out when the shelter in places are lifted. The other piece of that is marijuana. The marijuana dispensaries, the marijuana shops, depending on the legalization status, are deemed essential businesses, and they are also delivering and doing curbside. So the use of marijuana is up as well.
Right, and you know that for people that already have addiction issues, there's no doubt that this kind of shelter in place, this kind of shutting off society, will lead to some more challenges. And that's for people that have already suffered at some point with some kind of addiction. And I would assume that for those that have not, at least not technically, suffered or acknowledged the suffering, that there will be an increase in those too. And
oh, absolutely.
And I assume never in our lifetimes do we think that marijuana and dispensaries would be deemed an essential service in a time of pandemic. And that's not to criticize it. We just never saw that coming.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, to my earlier point with uncharted waters, we simply don't know what the ramifications are. However, I believe that many of them will not be great for society. And then if we look at the economic impact, that will be how so many people have lost their jobs, so many events have been canceled, and that's a place where we will really need to jump in and provide support as well.
Right. I assume, and you'll correct me on this, that whenever people lose structure in their lives, that's a time in which behavioral health issues become more prevalent.
Yeah, that is 100% spot on. And in times of, people will look for coping strategies. People will do what they need to do in order to survive. And some have healthy coping strategies, some have unhealthy coping strategies. And that's where we learn about one's resilience through their method of coping.
Fascinating. Jamie, I know we've only got so much time today, and I'd love to have you back on. What a fascinating world that you inhabit, and how much effort you will have to keep putting in. I know there's been a shortage of behavioral health help to begin with in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you have things like this, it shines a light on how challenging it is to meet the demands out there. And so thank goodness for people like yourself that lead these efforts.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Jamie, thank you for joining us today. We'd love to have you on again. What a pleasure to visit with you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.